Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Buying easy, saving you time and stress. Visit Josh at joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington on the other side. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins show. Let's do the Chris Harrington deal. Chris Henry joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Who's Making Love by Johnny Taylor, a absolute smash hit in 1968 for Stax Records. Johnny Taylor announced yesterday will be one of this year's inductees into the Memphis Music Hall of Fame.
Chris, by the way, folks, has a piece up today about Johnny Taylor and the other inductees in the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. I would urge you to read that. I'm going to ask him about just a couple. Tell me about Johnny Taylor. Chris, who is Johnny Taylor?
So Johnny Taylor is the one person, and I have been, as I've noted in the past and I've written, I was on the nominating committee for the past few years. I was not on the committee this year. They shook it up to get different people in.
Yep.
But I thought Taylor is the one person who I knew coming out of the deliberations last year was definitely going to be in this year, and I think everyone who's in is deserving, but he was, to me, probably top of the list of people who hadn't gotten in yet. He's originally from the West Memphis area, got his start in gospel music. He actually replaced Sam Cooke in the great gospel group, the Soul Stirrers, when Cooke left to go become more of a pop singer. But then ended up coming back to Memphis and signing with Stax and became a big hit maker for Stax in the late 60s and early 70s. And that's probably really the core of his claim for Memphis. He had something like 20 or 30 top 20 R&B hits, a lot of them with Stax. And then continued on, was a very durable performer when soul music and blues got more regional in the South again in the 80s and 90s. He was a big figure sort of on that more regional scene, even, you know, deep into the 1990s.
So I'm sure there are different ways and different connections to Memphis that qualifies one for the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. What, for example, Robert Johnson is on the list, is one of the inductees this year. And as you point out, never recorded in Memphis. So broadly speaking, what is required for one to get in? And then how does Robert Johnson fit?
Well, that was a different era. Like it wasn't a lot of recording going on.
Right.
And there weren't studios. That was before there were studios in Memphis. And so Robert Johnson only did 2 recording sessions in his life, and he traveled to Texas to do both. Like, people would set up like recording stuff in hotel rooms or in like other spaces and record a lot of these early blues musicians. And so there's a lot of mystery about Robert Johnson's life. A lot of books have been written trying to piece it together, and I don't think anything's entirely certain. He was a figure who was around the Mississippi Delta. Memphis is sort of capital of the Delta, who was around the Delta, you know, in that period in the late 20s and then through the 1930s, died very young under mysterious circumstances. But most indications seem to be that he lived for a long time in Memphis when he was growing up, maybe as a kid and as a teenager, and was certainly in and around Memphis throughout that blues era in the late 20s and the 30s. Those musicians weren't like playing in the clubs on Bill Street. These were like street musicians. It was sort of grubbier than that, right?
Yeah.
And so he was of that sort of era of that coterie. I think the Memphis Music Hall of Fame can rightly just say the Mississippi Memphis is capital of the Delta, and the Delta applies to us too.
Yeah.
But there are connections directly to Memphis in terms of, you know, where he lived and where he spent time.
What is what is controversial about his death?
Well, you know, the blues legend of, like, you know, went down to the crossroads, right, and sell your soul to the devil. That is sort of rooted in sort of the Robert Johnson mythology. In terms of his death specifically, you know, it seems to have been a murder. It seems to have been of a murder, like at a juke joint at a club. It's not entirely clear, like, what happened. I mean, there have been different stories about different grave sites for him. When I was in college, my friend Abe, who was our blues director at our college radio station, came down to visit once, and me and a couple of my high school friends put him in the car, and we did a blues road trip through Mississippi, and we found, like, one of the Robert Johnson gravesites.
Really?
Yeah, there's just a lot of, you know, there's, again, many books have been written about Robert Johnson. But the actual record is pretty scant.
Is there a definitive book about Robert Johnson?
There's a small book that Peter Guralnick wrote that I think is called Searching for Robert Johnson. But beyond that, I wouldn't.
Right.
It's something I probably need to research more. Maybe I'll write about it before the induction, but I wouldn't want to say any other one thing is like the definitive source. No.
All right. You can read about all six. Well, let me just pick out one more, Chris, that you can tell me about. Who is Cordell Jackson?
So Cordell Jackson sort of was mostly unknown until very late in life, like outside of Memphis, mostly unknown until very late in life when she was rediscovered in the 1980s and became the quote-unquote rock and roll granny. And she performed like late night David Letterman and other talk shows. She was in a Budweiser commercial. She became sort of this novelty act, like the, you know, the old lady in her big flowing dresses with a red guitar playing rockabilly music. Well, she wasn't always an old lady, right? We start out young. And so she was a rockabilly musician in the mid-50s, the same era as Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Cash and all those guys. Apparently recorded some demos for Sam Phillips before he started Sun Records, but was not, for whatever reason, did not record and have records released via Sun. It was sort of on the fringes of that scene. But she, in order to get her music out there, she started her own label, which very cheekily was called Moon Records. And she released records in the 50s by herself and by other artists, and was just sort of like a figure on the scene in the Memphis rockabilly scene in the 50s, and was sort of rediscovered later on in life.
All right. Again, I refer all y'all to the piece, and you can read more about all of the inductees. So we got the news, the update on Zach Edey, such as it was. He will be reevaluated, successful surgery, and will be reevaluated in 4 months. They expect a full recovery. How did that hit you, reevaluated in 4 months?
That was sort of my expectation. I think I'd mentioned yesterday maybe a couple of, you know, similar surgeries, similar injuries, some past comps, Sam Merrill, Taj Gibson, you can find some others. And those when they happen are reported as 4 to 5 month rehab. So this is about the right timetable for that. Now, as we know from many other injuries, the reevaluation time is not the return to play time. And so I think what you can read from that, your time context clues are that the hope will be that the 4 month is sort of the recovery. It's not really like the rehab ramp up. And so I think the hope would be that 4 months, you look at it and everything is healed, everything looks good, everything's clear, and then you begin the process of getting ready to play again. And I think that process is going to probably take a month, you know, itself. And so, you know, a 4 month reevaluation from now would put it basically during the preseason. And so if you tack a month onto that, you know, you're missing 2 or 3 weeks of the season. And so I think that is the best case scenario, right? If the reevaluation is totally clear in 4 months and the ramp up is successful again, I'm extrapolating. They have not said this. But I think you're looking at a best-case scenario of him back in early to mid-November. It obviously could not go that way, but that seems to be what it looks like.
If I offer you, Chris, my offer to you is that he will be back after missing 20 games. I'm not promising perfect health on all fronts going forward because I can't promise that for anyone. But he's going to be back, and as of game 21, he will be in good health. The foot will be fine, and he will be in the lineup for game 21. Are you taking it?
Yeah, I mean, I would take that just because while it could be better than that, there's way more downside from that than upside from that. Like, if the best case scenario is he's missing right. like 12 games, right? Like that's not that different. And so the worst case scenario is far. There's a lot more downside than upside from what you're giving me. So yeah, I'll take that.
In terms of, by the way, what he's missing. In terms of, so there are several things that are missing here. One is he will not physically be able to play for 12 to 30 or however many games. The games that he actually is missing will be a big part of what's bad about this. Another part is the development over the summer, whatever that would have looked like, right?
Right.
And then another part is the integration into Isolo and everything he will be doing during, you know.
Well, not just his, I'll add to it, all that's true. Not just his integration, but the team's ability to set up a style
that is
in some degree predicated on him.
Which of those things you think is most damaging, like his actual physical absence, or also what he is losing as a? We'll put the other two things in the same bucket: his personal development over the summer and the team's development around him.
Oh, I think for the team in the short term, it's the latter because that impacts more than just him. I think for Zach Edey's career long term, it's more like, you know, the skill development and just the risk of having had the surgery. But I think for the team itself, because, you know, I think that impacts more than just Zach Edey.
Right. What do we think he would have been work? Like, what would you have wanted him? And what do you imagine the instructions were? Hey, Zach, go work on this summer.
I think, you know, screening, which is different. Screening is more than just being big and standing there.
Right.
Like, you know, you work with angles, you work with timing, you work with other guards, and you work with, you know, what do you do with, you know, how do you react after the screen? And like all of that kind of stuff around the screening is probably the number one thing. People don't think about that as much because it's not about making or missing shots.
Right.
But that's probably the number one thing. And then I think general sort of footwork and lift.
Right.
Which I think impacts both your ability to defend in space and your ability to finish stuff around the rim more cleanly. I think those are probably the two main things.
I also just wonder, like, one of the things about him this past year was that it was sort of jarring given how physically imposing he is, how tentative he seemed in certain situations.
Yeah, that's what I mean by sort of that lift or that, you know, the ability to, I would want him to be more consistently forceful finisher around the rim. That is a big thing I would want to see from Zach Edey. Yes.
And I'm almost just totally imagining what it's like to be in the head of Zach Edey. But I think coming back from an injury, you are also just generally tentative. And so those things would seem to compound that. Yeah, I was expecting progress from that, right? The more forceful, whatever. And I just imagine coming back from an injury, you're going to be naturally tentative coming back from any, you know, injury.
Yeah, I don't think any of us can predict how that works physically or mentally in terms of that. But I do think he seems to be a pretty mentally tough guy.
Agree. Yes.
And so I think that probably works in his favor.
I believe you saw him lose a 1-16, man. They bounced back from that quite nicely the next year. You were in the house for that one. All right, let's move on to other basketball matters. Pacers, obviously Pacers Thunder tonight. I don't know if you have any particular, like, any particular expectations?
They will throw a punch. I think about games 3 and 4 sort of in concert. It's the two games back in Indiana. And I just think the Thunder are a better team, but I think it's close enough, and the Indiana energy in the building is such that my expectation, if I had to pick a most likely outcome, it's that there's a split in these games. And it's, you know, 2-2 going back to game 5. That said, even though both these next games are in Indiana, I do think the talent difference is enough that the Thunder winning both would be, I think the Thunder winning both is more likely than the Pacers winning both, even though they're in Indiana.
Right.
I suspect we get a split, and we're going back 2-2. But I do think even though the Pacers have gotten the home court advantage in the series, the Thunder are still, you know, a pretty strong favorite here.
And then finally, we have continuing sort of updates on the Knicks front. They're looking for a head coach. Let's see. They've asked for permission to interview Udoka. That was denied. Finch, that was denied. And Kidd, that was denied today. You would think, wouldn't you? Like, it's just weird. Wouldn't you think you would have some plan about if you're moving on from Thibodeau, where you would go? Or maybe you just decided you just time to get rid of Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, it might be that, I mean, you would like to think that they had a plan, but it may have been that they didn't get rid of Thibodeau because they wanted someone else. It may have been they just didn't, you know, they were going to get rid of Thibodeau regardless, right? It wasn't contingent. It wasn't like, if we can't get Jason Kidd, we're going to keep Tom Thibodeau. You know, they clearly decided just to move on from Thibodeau. It's interesting. Like, I mean, all we know is what's been reported. Like, we don't, you know, there's right. probably more going on than we know. But the only things we've heard about are them trying to talk to coaches who have jobs. Like, there are dudes out there without jobs who are sitting there, right? Mike Malone, who's won a title, is right there. Obviously, our guy Taylor Jenkins is right there. Those are some notable ones. It sort of feels like maybe you don't want Mike Malone to be your coach if you haven't already talked to Mike Malone.
I think it seems very much like, and obviously they all, yeah, that they don't want Mike Malone to be their coach. It is interesting. Like, so when Fizdale got canned here, was he pretty immediately hired in Brooklyn? Did he sit out a year and then he was hired in Brooklyn? And then
I thought it was the Knicks.
The Knicks. It was the Knicks. Yes, he was hired. But I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't remember how quickly it happened. It wasn't a long time, but it wasn't like the next day or anything.
And so we could have, I suppose it's theoretically possible that we could have a second Grizzly coach. What was the, Jeffrey, do you have that in front of you? How long was he? That didn't work out well.
So he was hired before the next season. So he was fired mid-year.
He was correct. Fired mid-year. He sat out the rest of the year and then was hired before. Well, same thing as Taylor Jenkins. Not mid-year, but during the year. Fired during the year. How do you think Taylor Jenkins would be a fit in New York?
I mean, I think Jenkins is a good coach. It doesn't seem like who they're going to hire, right? Just because it's New York and the level of expectation. And I don't know. It just doesn't – I may be wrong about that. But it doesn't feel like the hire they would make.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Tomorrow, he'll be talking to Drew. And Drew would have known that was the Knicks, not Brooklyn. That was a stupid, stupid mistake. New York. I had the metropolitan area. Right? Yeah. Anyway, that would be something, wouldn't it, if Taylor Jenkins?
I think Taylor would be a terrible fit in New York.
He does not seem personality like it. Is it a particular fit in New York, does it? No.
I would be very surprised if that would work.
But isn't it? I don't know. And like you have this theory about coaches, about coaching searches that largely is in college, right? That you have these big dreams about who you're going to get, and in rare circumstances, when Alabama gets Nick Saban, or you know,
don't forget when Memphis gets Calipari,
when like there are moments when everything aligns and you are able to get the coach of your dreams.
Well, and Rich Rodriguez had to have his wife had to have the freak out. Rich Rodriguez was good.
They were
not willing to wait on Saban because Jimmy told Mal Moore, you have to wait until the season is over in the NFL, and that was January. And they panicked, and they didn't want to wait.
So they offered it and signed up Rich Rod.
And Rich Rod accepted it, and then his wife said, I don't want to go to Alabama, and like 48 hours later, he turned it down.
So there are moments that it all comes true, but a lot of times you're ending up, and this is true, even if you're the flipping New York Knicks, it is...
I do kind of like the institutional arrogance of thinking we can just go.
We can go take someone else's coach. It's kind of like.
So you know what the working theory is.
Let me ask you. Who would you rather be if you were the coach in Houston, Minnesota, or Dallas? Would you rather have those jobs or the New York job?
All right, one more time: Minnesota, Dallas.
Minnesota, Houston, and Dallas. I'd rather have all three of those jobs than the New York job. I'll tell you why.
The only one I can make a case for is Dallas, simply because if you know Nico's under fire from the fan base, you're going to be the first person. Like, it feels like Nico's Nico, the ownership's going to keep covering for him for a little bit. So if things go...
But I do think the Cooper Flagg thing changed everything there. Like, you can... Now, it's burned ground. You know, anything you accomplish, you don't have any part of that. And anything you accomplished is good. And people are probably ready to start finding some reasons for hope. You get the number one pick in the draft. I actually think that one's... And the Minnesota one is an interesting one because he's been there for a while, right? So you could make an argument that he's sort of like at some point your tenure comes to an end, right? And yep. He's achieved at a very high level that is not necessarily replicable in Minnesota year after year. So I think that is one you might.
I think the only way you do
that's
the
one you go to
reset.
The Knicks,
yeah.
Because I don't want the Knicks job because now the expectations are NBA Finals. That's the expectations for the next. I've got to do better than Thibodeau.
So the working theory is that Dolan had been so wrapped up in getting the Sphere up and running, and he was focused on that. And now that the Sphere's kind of humming out in Vegas,
his attention is turned back.
He's
and
ready.
That's not a good thing.
Correct.
meanwhile, Suns owner
Matt Ishbia.
Has recently sent out a letter to saying basically I am going to be involved.
I enjoyed that.
Saying,
listen,
my mistake was
I hired good people and let them run basketball.
I wasn't hands on enough.
Correct.
And now I'm going to be hands on.
Respect.
Holy smokes!
That's what you want to hear.
All right. Over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, it is that time again. It is the summer of 1,000 engagements. And here's the deal: you buy diamond rings over there. You buy diamonds over there. And they give you more diamonds. And you don't even have to buy diamonds. You spend $999 or more during the summer of 1,000 engagements, and you get free diamond jewelry. That's pretty good. Like, they're not giving you a gift card or, you know, get a gift card at Starbucks or whatever. No, they're giving you diamonds. So you buy a 1.2 total carat double halo diamond engagement ring. That's $1,499. It's beautiful, stunning. And you get a free diamond tennis bracelet. That's just one example. Or 3.5 total carat ring featuring a 3-carat above love star center diamond. That's gorgeous. That's only $39.99. You get a pair of free diamond stud earrings. It is the summer of 1,000 engagements where you spend $999 or more and you get free diamond jewelry. Plus 40% off engagement rings, anniversary bands, wedding bands, all manner of things at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And, of course, they've still got the meant-to-be guarantee where you buy, you get your made-to-order design, custom design engagement ring there, and you've got 365 days to return it, no questions asked. No better time to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers than the summer of 1,000 engagements. Visit any of their 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
All right, back on Jeff Calkins' show. We got a poll going on, Jeffrey. What's the let's give an update.
Jeff, our poll question for today was, how do Memphis fans feel about the present and the future of Tiger Athletics? 133 votes have been tallied so far. 51.9% say they're in the 4-6 range. 26.3% say they are in the 7-9 range. 20.3% say they're in the 0-3 range, while 1.5% says they're at a perfect 10.
What strikes you there?
There's a little bit more optimism than I thought.
What's interesting is that, first of all, I said I was 4.2, and I feel bad about that. And we made the point, if you want to, you can make an argument that Memphis football is in better position than it's ever been. Because it has a path to the playoff. Before, the best it had was a path to a Cotton Bowl, you know. Now it has actually a path to a playoff. And they're poised to be a power in their conference. And they've got a reputation. Don't you think Memphis football has a good reputation now?
Yeah, I think the thing that's interesting about football is I think that there's like a path to more consistent success than with basketball, because I think with basketball the margins are so thin that
they should both dominate their conference.
Correct.
Though to the extent that I am not a 9 or an 8 or a whatever, it's not because of the efforts of whatever's happening over there. It's just the structurally the world around them that to me accounts for any of my fundamental negative feelings. That almost 100% of it is that the structure of the sports doesn't seem to be moving in a way that helps them.
And unlike at other points, like as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, when you felt like you could do good work and move your way up, there's not a clear path right now to some of.
I think that's right. So what is significant to me is this: there's more optimism. What's the 7-9 is how many percent?
I think it was 26%.
But what then? You also have a quarter of the fans voting who are 0-3.
Correct.
And that's a pretty big chunk of fans who like, because team people want to feel good about their program. If 25% of your fans feel 0-3.
Well, I mean, I think there's another way to look at it. I mean, it's not
scientific.
It's not a scientific study.
What do you mean? What are you trying to say about the Jeff Calkins show poll?
But so, well,
highly
I mean,
scientific.
I mean, I wrote it. So I'm saying, I'm talking about yes. The way I wrote it. But basically, 72% are 6 or lower. And let's be real, I think a lot of those 4-6s are kind of very much, I think it's 5 right. or lower. And I think that's a way
feel
to look
meh
at
it. Or blow.
Correct.
Yeah, that's not great. So, all right, let's do take 5. Aaron Rodgers is married. We learned that. We learned that yesterday.
So that's
another one. No,
well, we saw him wearing the ring. I think it was on Rogan's podcast. I think it went on Joe Rogan's podcast. And he was wearing the wedding ring, but this was the first time anyone had asked him about it.
And he had dropped hints before.
Correct.
On the McAfee appearances about I'm
McAfee.
In a different place,
and
I have a serious relationship.
I want to say he'd been like photographed and whatnot. Yeah.
And then at one point he said her name on McAfee, Brittany. And then he, on another time on Mitney, he pointed, it's Brittany with an I.
Yep.
So how long has he been married?
I guess I could also, he said a couple of months.
It's been a couple months. Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers tells me his wife's name's Brittany, you don't have to fill in the details. I just assume it's Brittany with an I.
It's who?
It's going to be Brittany with an I. Like, I'm not, that
really?
One is, that's
you
a free
think
space.
It's
going to
be Brittany
with yeah.
an I? Okay. He also said that he is all in from now on.
Well, don't forget, Jeff, he needed this for his soul.
Yeah, he needed this for his soul, but he is all in from now on.
I did think it was a little interesting. Did you see what McVay said today? Or maybe it was yesterday. McVay was asked if they explored Rodgers, and he was pretty open. He's like, yeah, we did explore it. Now, granted, they were working out the whole Stafford contract, but I do think at some point they probably had the discussion that, as you pointed out, everyone keeps ripping the Rodgers thing, but I bet they had the discussion. We can get Rodgers for $13 million. Is that something we should explore to make our team better?
I mean, listen, I don't want any team in the AFC to be good except the Bills, right?
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's not the way that league's working.
The Steelers inflicting some losses on the Ravens. Like, that'd be okay.
And the Bengals.
And the Bengals. So I don't mind that. I don't like Aaron Rodgers, and I don't like the Steelers particularly, just because they're in the AFC. But I don't think it's that. I think once people start pummeling everything, I sort of go the other way. Everyone thinks this is a disaster. I look at what they've had at quarterback. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, if you put all the rest, I believe in Arthur Smith. I believe in Mike Tomlin. I believe in their defense. I'm not sure I believe in their offensive line, but here's the truth. The interior offensive line is established and good, and they've got two young, really young tackles. And so they need those tackles to be good.
That's what worries me the most.
They need the tackles to be good. And the one was a first-round pick last year who's been injured, whatever else. They got two young tackles. They need the tackles to be good. It will not surprise me if one of the stories of the first half of the season is this Aaron Rodgers thing is better than we imagined it would go.
It wouldn't shock me. I would not bet on it. Is that a fair thing to say?
That's a fine thing to say. That's a fine thing to say. In other news.
Because, like, all right, let's look. Do I think they can beat the Jets? Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Seahawks at home? DK revenge game?
I think they win that game.
At the Patriots.
They win that game. Aaron Rodgers is going to start the season 3-0. Although the Pats, obviously, trickier than it was.
Correct.
But
Vrabel's going to make the Pats a significantly more competent team than they looked last year. Then you get the Vikings.
Where's that game?
That's a Europe game.
That's where you want to get the Vikings. I got your Vikings in Europe. That's not so bad. Yeah.
I believe that's a London game because that's an 8:30 on NFL Network. Then the Browns. I mean, they have a realistic path.
Like, when do they get to a game that we know they're going to lose?
I mean, how do you feel about them at the Bengals?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
They're not going to be favored, but no. At the same time, if I tell you the Steelers win that game, are you stunned?
I think that is a game that they are.
But I think that's a game they're clearly going to be an underdog.
Yes, that's a game. Is that the first game they'll be an underdog?
Let's see. What was that, Vikings?
No, they'll be an underdog to the Vikings. I mean, some of this will depend on what happens.
But
with
right
these
now,
other
it's
kids.
Right
what
now,
have we seen? You know, from JJ McCarthy and the Vikings. But by then, the
right now it's showing a Vikings by a point and a half.
In other NFL news, see Shamar Stewart. Shamar Stewart is the Bengals' first round pick.
Yes,
because they have a pass rushing defensive end, and he is unhappy and holding out. So they and their defense was terrible last year, right? So what are we going to do? We're going to go and mind you, they picked a boom or bust dude. Like
they definitely picked traits over production.
Maybe the greatest athlete on defensive line in the draft. But who was not productive at Texas A&M. Shamar Stewart. And anyway, he's not participating. He's there, but he's not participating in minicamp. And he just went off on them yesterday because I don't know the specifics of it, but they are trying to. Once upon a time, Michael Heisley tried to screw the. Normally, rookie deals are just rubber stamped. You're given a certain range. Everybody gives the top of the range. Boom, 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 boom. One year, Michael Heisley's like, "No, I'm not doing that." And so he had a holdout from his rookies. Like, everyone else in the league does it. They'd already done it. Whatever. I forgot the exact circumstances. But it seems like the same thing's happening here. The Bengals are trying to change the way they do things with rookie contracts in a way that they've never done before and nobody else does. And Shamar Stewart is saying, this is unfair. And then he also says, and all the other veterans are telling me that I'm doing the right thing. That's an organization that hates the players, but players hate the organization. They feel stuck there. They know they're run by the cheapest team in the league. And that's a terrible way to be. It's like being a Buffalo Sabres fan.
Yeah. So we were trying to piecemeal, like, what is the – and what we could basically conclude is a lot of this starts with Mims, remember last year, held out. But because they needed the tackle, they ended up giving Mims a couple of things that most rookies didn't get. And so it seems to me like – Shamar is basically going like, well, you've done this contract before, so give it to me. And really what it's like the mistake was they gave kind of a couple of conditions that most people are not giving on rookie deals last year, and now that's getting used against them. And then they're also trying to, if the contract defaults for any reason, it's instead of taking a year of the signing bonus, aka the guaranteed money, they want to take all of it that remains.
Yeah. Again, I confess, all I know is when your first round draft pick rookie is blasting you.
Correct.
It's not a good look. Let's go to the next one. This is from The Athletic. This is a baseball story, Jeffrey. They have an anonymous player poll, right?
All right.
Anonymous players speak out. And I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Love that stuff. So I would ask you, the question was, which organizations have good reputations among players and which have bad reputations among players, okay? There are fully, how many people responded to this? 250 responses. So it's not scientific, right?
Yep.
There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that did not, you could either vote good or bad.
Right.
That's it. You get voted good or bad. There were 9 teams that did not get a single good vote. But tell me the 3 organizations or 5 organizations or 6. There's actually a pretty clear line at 6 organizations that have. One was 0-19. One was 0-24. One was 0-25. Another one was 0-25. One was 0-31. And one was 0-39. What are the organizations that have bad reps among players?
This one feels pretty easy. All right, so I'm going to say the A's.
A's is 0-39, bringing up the rear. Nobody wants to be playing in Sacramento.
I'm going to say the Marlins.
Marlins are 0-25. They are one of them, yes.
The Rockies.
Rockies are also 0-25. Weirdly, there is a team between the Rockies and the A's. The Marlins, the Rockies are 0-25. The A's are 0-39. There is a team in between.
White Sox.
The White Sox are 0-31. And so give me two other teams. One is 0-19 and one is 0-24.
All right. Well, I think the Pirates are going to be up there. That's a
Pirates,
dreadful spot.
Pirates, 0-24.
Who else? I could see where, like, Nationals, like they feel kind of rudderless.
I think you'll know this when I tell you. Just a hopeless situation. You don't have the teams up in front of you.
No.
You have the teams up in front of you. Call them up. Look at the teams. You will see.
I'll just say they haven't ever made the playoffs forever. Mariners.
Angels.
Oh, God. Yeah. Duh.
Yeah. Right. So, but in fairness, Mariners were next. Okay. But there's a huge gap. Mariners were 0-3. Then you get to the Angels at 0-19. No good votes. Okay. Now let's go to the overwhelmingly who has the best organization among players. We'll see if you can, how many of the top 4 can you name?
All right. Dodgers.
Dodgers, 82 good, 0 bad.
All right. I'll say Braves.
Braves third, 25 good, 0 bad.
I'm going to say, give me the Mets.
Yankees, damn it. Mets were 17-1. Yankees were 2. So it goes Dodgers 82-0, Yankees 40-3, Braves 25-0, Cubs 22-0. Those are the best.
Yeah.
Those are the ones with the best.
I'm a little surprised on the Cubs. There's been some thoughts that their owners are being very cheap.
What I was interested in is your beloved Cardinals.
Yeah.
Where do you think the Cardinals are in this?
Oh, I think they've been taking a big reputation hit. But I also think that they've gone from people thinking they're a good organization to just thinking meh. So I'm going to say like bottom 15.
Yeah, they are. It's weird. Some of these, speaking of meh, like they got no votes, basically.
Yeah.
They got
that
they
checks
got
out.
One good vote and 3 bad votes.
That checks out.
You know,
it's just they're just an afterthought.
All right, let's go to the next one. We now know where Ali Corso will be putting on his last mascot head. Ohio State, Texas. Is this a fitting way for Ali Corso to go out? And what will be the last mascot head Ali Corso puts on?
Yeah, I think they're going to bookend it. So the first time he ever put the mascot head on was at Columbus, and he put Brutus's head on. I think he's going to book in, and he's going to put Ohio State on.
He's going to do Brutus again.
Because there was also some thought he went to Florida State that maybe they go to Florida State, Alabama for his alma mater. But I think this makes sense. It's a bigger game. I get it.
We got to race through the last two. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, number 4, Bill Belichick talked about all the stuff. He called it just noise. It was just noise, Jeffrey?
We've always had noise.
It's a different kind of noise. Yeah. Next one.
There.
Yeah, Raising Cane's. We didn't make note of this. This is chicken finger, chicken strip news that somehow we did not comment on.
No, that's not true.
You did.
No. This isn't we have a fundamental point of view on this.
Okay.
This is nothing to do
with South Haven? Is that what it is?
It is. We have nothing against the fine folks of South Haven, but anyone that knows where this Raising Cane's is going in, it's going to be a disaster from traffic. This is like the same. Remember when Whataburger opened? I think it's on Goodman Road.
You had the people who stayed out all night.
Yeah, like so. And again, God bless them. I'm with them, but it's just never going to be it. That's never where I'm going to hit the first location.
Would you go to Mississippi if it were a bit different place in Raising Cane's?
Listen,
or is there?
Have I thought about, because Horn Lake is the only place that has bone-in Bojangles chicken? Yeah, I've thought about it. I've never actually like put foot to pedal, but I've thought about it.
And where does Raising Cane rank for you? How is it? Pretty good?
It's pretty solid. Like, I'm not like one of these people that's like...
People like the sauce, right?
Well, I'll tell you what you and I love. The mascot. It's always like a yellow lab. Like, they've got like these labs in there. It's great. Oh, fantastic.
Don't you feel like, though, a little bit like people are just trading on these dogs now? They're exploiting the dogs. Kirk Herbstreit, like, or just all good dogs. They're just good dogs. And it's usually labs now. And I know you're a lab guy. Like, how do you feel about
Rocco's,
it?
Rocco's
a, not a German Shepherd. You got a German Shepherd.
I got a German Shepherd.
You got a German Shepherd-ish. But like, how do you feel about people?
Listen, labs are falling down. They're no longer the most popular dog in America.
I don't know if I like seeing Bernese Mountain Dogs. Like, you see them now on dog food bags and stuff like that.
So
you know, they're pimping my dogs.
I think I sniffed out Herbstreit pretty quickly. When people were like, oh, he's bringing the dog everywhere.
He seems pretty legit.
No,
you don't think
No, what I sniffed
he
it
loves
out.
That dog.
Well, I sniffed it out early. I go,
did.
The dog's sick. And I was like, he's bringing him around because he's doing the move of, I'm not wasting a single minute.
That's you got.
I can respect
that. Gotta respect that. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Bobby Marks joins them at 11:25. Coach Hurd will join them at 1:25. Hunter Havoc, Bobby Ford in studio with us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. CJ Hurd joins us during hour number 2. It's Wednesday, so Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Bobby Marks will tell you what the Grizzlies should do. So the answers will be revealed. Just hang on. All right, we got to get out of here. Jeffrey and Drew will be back tomorrow. My work here is temporarily done.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.